Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Actually, I normally go with my first and last name in the beginning.
And
then in the end,
we just revisited. I think lately we've just been doing first name.
Well,
but we just revisited and re-listened to at least part of the first episode podcast that's one of the things I noticed is we both did our first name and last name.
Well, I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott Davis.
Yeah, with the other radio announcer voice. You know, it's funny the different numbers of cheesy stereotype voices that there are for radio announcers.
Oh my goodness. You know? Yeah.
And so I didn't go to broadcasting school. Neither did you.
No, I did not. I know it sounds like I did, but I did not.
With the silky smoothness of your voice, people would think that maybe you were a late night radio host.
Are you talking about this one?
No, not the NPR voice.
Not the NPR voice?
No. Oh. Well, I'm talking about late night eclectic with Scott.
Kicking back, chill action.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so it's kind of weird to me.
And then there's the shock jock.
That is correct.
Sorry. That was really, you might have to fix the levels on that.
I think
recording.
It clipped.
It clipped big time.
And it like blew out my eardrum. So,
am I shouting now? Because I can't tell. It was so loud.
Rob, you're welcome.
Thank you. But, okay, is there a radio station that you like to listen to?
Yeah.
Now, do you listen like at the same time in the morning or in the afternoon so you get the same like DJ like over and over again?
There are times that I prefer to listen to specific stations, but I schedule all over the place.
So here's what's kind of
weird.
I don't
have a consistent routine, but I have consistent times where it's like, oh, if it's this time, I want to listen to this station now because I like this.
Yeah. No. So if you listen to the same DJ for a while,
mm-hmm.
and let's say you never phone in, you've never talked to them on the radio or something, like, do you still feel a sort of connectedness with them?
No.
You don't at all?
No, I'm that pause was me really thinking about it. Rather than giving the obligatory yes.
I do a little bit.
I don't think I do.
And I don't know why I do.
And maybe I'm just interpreting the connection differently than you are.
Yeah. I'm not talking about real connected, like I feel like I know Delilah because her love songs.
But Let me back up. And I'll change my answer. I'll say yes from the perspective of just connection being there becomes a nostalgic element to it, a familiarity that brings a certain level of
absolutely.
I like to relax to listen to this and that kind
So if I were flipping radio stations and I heard you know, you're listening to love songs with Delilah, right?
Yes.
Hey, this is John Johnson on, you know, KXRY radio, and we're going to be playing some hits. I mean, like, I go, you know, I know Delilah's voice. I know, like, I feel a sort of a bit of more familiarity, I guess. Maybe not connection. But
or back in the day, Casey Kasem.
Yes. This is Casey Kasem. We're counting down the hits.
Telling emotional stories about people that we made up.
Exactly. I used to listen to Coast to Coast. So you start hearing these people, and I wonder, because this is kind of weird. I don't know if you thought about this, right? This is like kind of meta, right? The people that are listening to us right now, like our listeners,
right?
Do they feel any sort of connectedness with us via this radio podcast microphone type? Because we're speaking into a microphone.
Yeah.
It's getting recorded digitally, edited.
Yeah.
And then put up on the web, and then they're listening.
It's mini pre-recorded radio segments.
It is. And so do they feel connected to us at all? Like, I wonder.
I don't know.
Because like you and I are face-to-face.
Let me ask them. Do you feel connected to us?
Cricket.
I'm going to take that silence as a no.
That's kind of an uncomfortable silence.
Oh, wait, but this is recorded, so they're not going
to
be.
There's no way for us to know.
Yeah.
Unless they like. They hit the like button, or they share.
Or comment.
Or they come up to us and say, man, I really like that last podcast, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, the reason I'm asking is I'm thinking about all of our day-to-day interactions with people.
Right.
And in the youth ministry context in particular,
okay,
like there are students that come in and out of our youth groups. And what are we doing specifically to connect with them? And I've been thinking about in this show, okay, as we have dialogue with each other, we often will throw it out and we'll talk to people as though they're able to answer us, even though they can't, right? Especially in our closings. Hey, if you would like to get a hold of us, we're addressing them as best we can, right? And we try to talk about topics and we try to bring up real life examples that other people can relate to. And we do that so that we can connect with them over this medium, because that's the best we can do over this medium. And then,
well, and yeah, and a lot of times in the middle of a conversation, we'll say, "Hey, if you're out there listening to this, and this, and you find yourself in this circumstance, and this is you,
yeah,"
and we'll address
exactly, you know, and we'll bring up hypothetical,
make it as personal as we can,
hypothetical situation. Like I was when we were re-listening to our first episode, we were basically asking the question, "Who's this for?" And we're trying to bring up all these scenarios, whether you're a professional youth worker, whether you're the sole volunteer in your church, and whether you've got 300 kids coming, you know, every weekend to youth group, or whether you've got two kids. Like, we want to be able to offer something to you. And so we try to, I think, cover all those bases.
Right.
And I know that we have a vast amount of experiences along the spectrum, from the super small youth group to what some people would consider a large youth group, you know, right, in between. And so, but when kids come into your youth group, are we doing everything that we can in the hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the programming time is, that we have them there to connect with them? Because obviously, if you're giving a 20-minute message, during those 20 minutes, you can't connect with them one-on-one. You can do those things in your message that allow you to connect with your audience, right? During game time, when you're playing games with them, you can connect with them a little bit there by having fun and having that shared activity. But I mean, realistically, if you've got a new kid every week and you spent 5 minutes talking to them before right, youth group started, like I think that would start a foundation of connectedness that you could build on. But I mean, are we doing that? Are
kinda
we
like
building
a,
that
hey,
into
it's
it?
It's great to meet yeah, you. So, you know, what, just really curious, what brings you here? What's yeah, your connection to us? How do you find yourself here tonight? And yeah, simple absolutely, question. And you ask, you know, that's one of the things I do in a conversation with a kid, especially if they don't come in with another kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really just kind of curious, hey, so how did you find us? How did you get connected to us? And I just ask it in a positive, upbeat, light manner.
Yeah.
And I always get a great answer. And then it gives me insight into how people are connecting to us, how they're hearing about us, and what the word is out there. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but, you know, there are always those kids in youth group that seem to be kind of loners. You know, they don't want to participate in the games, and, you know, they want to do that. They want to sit in the corner and listen to music or
right,
draw or read a book or something like that. And I think sometimes for youth workers, I don't know about your youth workers, and this isn't a slight against my youth workers. It's just natural human tendency. We tend to connect with the kids that we think are cool, that we have stuff in common with, that we like. If we like foosball and a kid likes foosball, it's easy to say, hey, let's play a game of foosball and have fun. But then we're missing the opportunity to connect with the other kids that don't like foosball.
Right.
Right. And so,
and not that taking that time with that kid who does is bad.
It's not
but
a
we
bad
have
thing.
We can't over focus on one.
Yeah.
And lose the ability to connect. But it also speaks to why we need more volunteers, more adults involved.
Yes.
Is so that there are more adults to reach out and connect in different levels. An introvert adult
yeah,
is going to connect with an introverted kid much differently and much more significantly and more naturally
yeah,
than I am. It doesn't mean I am absolved of all of my responsibility to try and connect with that kid.
Yeah.
But it aids in the connecting of the different personalities. I got a guy who helps with the teens, and he's massively into stunt bike stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and mm-hmm, and he connects with some of those kids on that level, and
I
that is
saw
fantastic.
That at
and,
camp.
And it's great. Yeah, yeah, he was out there. He brought extra bikes,
and
he even
doing
I believe
flips and
he
craziness,
even brought bikes that if a kid wanted to take it home with them, he was willing to
yeah,
give it to them. Problem is they have to have a way of getting it home,
yeah,
and not all of them do. So.
Well, I mean, what was cool about that I saw at camp was there was another kid there who was totally into extreme BMX, and I went over there to go, you know, talk to them, and he told me, oh, yeah, I'm from you know, Scott's church and all that. It was really cool to meet him, and I pulled up my camera on my phone and got some other kids involved and shot a couple of slow-mo videos of them jumping over these kids. Now, we had the kids in front of the ramp, not on the ramp, but you could tell that they had the height and to they would have cleared over them if had they been standing on the ramp. But it was just really cool to have both your leader and the student both being able to do this and connect on that level.
Yeah.
Something that neither you or I can do. Yeah. You know, I mean, I would have plowed through that pile of kids. It would have been ugly and messy, but we don't want that.
And it would have hurt when you land.
It would have, but I probably would have landed on the kids, and they would have cushioned my fall a little bit.
This is all the more reason to have more kids there.
So when it comes to connecting with these kids that we have an affinity with, like, what do we have to do to get over that, and what kind of thing should we be looking for the kids that aren't really connected?
Well, I think if I get what you're asking, and it's not necessarily always the case, and it's usually more me than you. Part of what our tendency is to really kind of try and connect in with just the kids that we can, that we more naturally, that we have more of those affinity connections with, that we have some same likes and all that kind of stuff. Or we feel like we can be cooler as youth leaders if we can connect with the cooler kids.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we leave out a lot of the kids who are, through whatever circumstances in life or curiosities going through their minds, they're more open right now to a relationship with, you know, some kind of connection on that level or interest in what the gospel is all about or what this, you know, or really they're primed because something in their life has really opened them up to accepting and believing in something that's bigger than they are. And so we often sacrifice those who are curious and ready to be connected to for the sake of trying to really connect to the cool, thinking that if we can connect to the cool kids, that it ups our cool points and our coolness will draw more people in, or their coolness will draw more people in, when in reality we lose sight of connecting. So I think part of what we have to overcome is the tendency to target who we are trying to connect with some of the parameters that we use to inform that. I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes absolute sense. What I'm hearing you say is that we got to keep the main thing. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
The ministry is not about us and how good we feel and how validated we feel from these teens and leaders.
Right.
It's about us making the sacrifices to pour into our calling by pouring into these teens and pouring into these leaders and parents. It might be stuff that we might not particularly like to do, but it's stuff that we need to do. You know, I mean, nobody likes to do the administrative paperwork. Well, some people do, but they're kind of freaks in nature. It's just not my gifting. So, but some people like they really like to do all of the minutia. But all of that is required in order for us to have like the big programming. You know, it's easy to show up to camp, get up on stage, and just let your personality spill out if you're an extrovert.
Right.
But somebody had to do all of the accounting paperwork, make sure all the kids got their registrations in, that all the waivers have been signed, all the medications have been taken care of and are being dispensed, so that after we get done, after just being ourselves for a week on stage, that those kids get home safely and it's maximized our ability to do what we do.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, and it takes a wide range. It takes a massively wide range of personalities and coupled with skill sets to accomplish everything.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want a ministry just full of Robs. I mean, if there were just a dozen Robs, we'd have fun to a certain degree. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that would not get done.
And let me tell you, I am the epitome of the person that drives me crazy. When I'm not the one in charge and somebody else is leading, I become that person that drives me crazy, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So I would definitely not want a group of volunteers of a bunch of Scots. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So you know, but when it comes to connecting with kids, man, let's talk about maybe some very specific ways that you connect with some of these kids that are curious. Because let's face it, we got to view every teen that comes to our ministry as someone that God has sent to us so that we can pour into. And so they're our responsibility. They're one of our sheep. And, you know, if we were physically, you know, shepherding and we had 99 sheep, and then one more got introduced into the pen, we wouldn't just ignore it, let it sit on the corner. And when it's you know, walking towards the cliff, we wouldn't just say, ah, well, you know, I've got these 99, my original 99, I'll let that one fall off the cliff. No, we're going to, you know, just like Christ would, we're going to leave those 99 and go save the one. And so there's one particular kid, and I've told this story before. And I don't tell this story to pat myself on the back, but just an illustration of, you know, what to be looking for. There's a kid, and she used to come into our youth group. She's actually graduating this year. She's a senior, so it's really cool. But when she was in middle school, she used to come to youth group, and she'd have her headphones on, similar to the headphones that we got on right now.
Oh,
right?
Big ones. Okay.
And, yeah, the cans, and she would listen to her music. And I was just like, man, she seems like a real cool gal, you know, like a loner, quiet, but, like, I want to get to know her. And so I go over there and I kind of make the motion, hey, pull off your headphones. And she pulled off her headphones, like, what are you listening to? And she would tell me what music she's listening to, and it's somebody I don't know, some right. EDM, you know, something. I'm like, okay, cool. All right. And then I asked her what she was drawing. And it turns out she was drawing some anime. And I go, oh, anime, right on. She's like, oh, do you like anime? And her eyes lit up. Like, she was just quiet and kind of even physically, you could see the physicality. She was, like, hunched over and kind of not making eye contact and like, yeah, what are you drawing? Oh, I'm drawing some anime. Do you like anime? I'm like, kid, do I? Yeah, I love anime. And she's like, oh, let me show you. So she starts showing me.
Yeah.
Well, truth be told, I really, like, growing up, I liked anime. But, like, now, even though I enjoy anime, it's not a hobby anymore. Like, I don't go out and read the current anime or right, watch the current right. anime. And so,
and it's a whole different kind of culture now than it was when we were younger.
It is. So she's flipping through, and she flips to a picture, and by God's grace, it was Cowboy Bebop, anime from back in the day. It was old school, and I recognize it because I used to watch that. I go, oh, that's Cowboy Bebop. She goes, oh, you know Cowboy Bebop? Oh, my gosh. And, like, just started everything else. Okay, well, here's this and here's that. And now these are animes I've never heard of.
Right. But that doesn't matter because
we made a connection
into her
we
world.
We made a connection. Yeah. And you know, it's weird. Like, we don't have to be an expert on everything that these kids are into, but we can find a connecting point. And I think sometimes what we do is we don't want to take the trouble to find that point of connection, whether right. it's whether it's a hobby or whatever that we're into. When we have our gaming days here, I find myself playing video games that I am terrible at. And I know a kid's going to destroy me, but they're like, hey, you want to play Mario Kart? And I'm like, sure. And they just destroy me. But I find that they're giving me hints. Oh, did you know that you can just do this and you'll jump over those shells when they come at you? I did not know that. Thank you for teaching me, you know, and then. We connect on that level. And then the deal is to take it beyond the game and make it a little more personal. So as we're playing now, hey, what's going on with you? What have you been up to? Well, I know she came to this gaming thing alone. Do you know any of the other kids here? Not really. And then when I hear that, I try to connect a kid. And when I try right. to connect a kid to another kid, I'll say, well, here, you know, you're really into this. You're really into baseball. I know Scott over here is really into baseball. Let me go introduce you to Scott. I'll say, hey, Scott, this is Johnny. He's really into baseball. He plays at his high school, and I know you play at your high school too, right? You know, and I'll introduce, and then I'll compliment the kid. And I'll say, man, yeah, he's also really awesome at Mario Kart, man. He just blew me up like 3 times, man. And so right then and there, what I just did is I tore down a barrier of, hey, you're alone. Nobody else here. A lot of kids think that. Nobody else here is like me. They're not into the same things I'm into. And right. I just blew that up. Right. So that excuse for withdrawing. And then I went over there and I boosted his confidence by saying, yeah, he's really good at this game, you know. And then I connect these kids. And what's awesome is later on in the event, when you see those two kids hanging out, and when dinner comes and we're eating our pizza or whatever, they're sitting together. And I'm like, dude, they just made a new friendship right there. And so, right. and that's what I think it's all about, you know, connecting people to each other. And then through these personal relationships, we can see a relationship with Christ develop, right? You know, right. And these things cannot happen if we don't start building the relationship, right?
Yeah, I've got a young lady who's very much into drawing anime, and I built a connection with her in by, you know, noticing what she's drawing and just saying, hey, that's really cool. Can you draw one for me and put a mustache on it? And just I for whatever reason, that popped into my head. Then anytime she would be drawing something, she said, oh, hey, draw one for me and put a mustache on it. Just constantly. Oh, put a mustache on that. So one time she was drawing a chicken. I said, hey, would you draw me a chicken with a mustache? And so she did. She went home. She drew me an anime chicken with a mustache on.
That's awesome.
On it. And I still have the drawing in my office.
That is awesome.
If she ever comes into my office, it's there and she can see it, and it's pretty cool.
Well, and that's your personality style. You weren't being anything that you weren't into. You weren't pretending to be an anime.
No, I was just being an idiot.
But you're into being goofy, and you know, you like mustaches, and you know, so you just threw that into that request.
I don't know that I would say that I like mustaches.
Well, I mean, come on, mustaches are pretty cool.
But I'm random.
Yeah.
But you know, but I'll also go up to, you know, one day a week. It doesn't work out as often this year; has been a little harder. But one day a week, I'll go up to the high school, and I'll buy JoJo's from the corner store in town, and I'll take a bunch of them up to the high school and just walk around, pass out JoJo's, and just visit with kids as I pass them out. And I do it enough that, you know, my kids from my youth group are there, and they know me, and I've met enough of their friends over time. And but each time I go, my goal is not just to only talk to the kids that. That I talked to in the past, but to always try and talk to another one of their friends or somebody else or some group that I walk past that doesn't know me and say, "Hey, you want some JoJo's? I'm heading here to give some to somebody, but you guys can have some or whatever." And after a while, my span of connections just grows and grows and grows. And there's a lot of kids that have never and will never set foot in our church that consider me their pastor because of the connections I've built with them.
Absolutely.
I got a call recently, a young lady who's graduating from high school, and she signed to play volleyball for a small Christian college, and she came to one event once.
Yeah.
A New Year's Eve party. And that was it. She's never come to, you know, anything else. But she contacted me because I am her youth pastor, and she needed a spiritual reference for this Christian college. And we've had enough conversations that I felt like I could. Now, if I couldn't, I would tell her, I don't know that I know you that well enough. I mean, I'd phrase it probably a little differently. I don't know you. I felt like I knew her well enough that I could do a simple spiritual recommendation for her.
Absolutely.
And questions in there that, I mean, I'm brutally honest, and I tell them, okay, I'm brutally honest in recommendation forms.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, when they like rating scales of 1 to 10, for me, a 7 or 8 is a high rating. So just if it ends up being something you see, I'm not being hard on you. I'm honest. I'm just brutally honest. And so, you know,
for me to
go.
Say that you're a 10 means I don't believe that there's any improvement at all that you can make
and,
there.
And when I get recommendations from people about somebody else, and they do is circle the top marks for everything. It's just like this is useless.
It's almost like the Olympics, right? You take out the high, you take out the low, average the rest.
Yeah,
you
know? But it's useless to me with that. So I'm just brutally honest.
There are times when we can connect on the most basic level. So there was an event going on here. I can't remember what it was. I think they had brought in some like quartet or something. And so there's a gal from Tacoma, and her family came down for this concert. She wasn't interested in it, so she was just chilling in her coffee shop, right? And I was working here, and I decided I was going to go make myself a smoothie. So I grab a gallon of milk out of the teen fridge. I head over to the coffee shop, and I'm getting ready to start making myself a smoothie. And I see this gal over there, and she's a teenager. So I said, hey, would you like a smoothie? And she's like, sure. So I make her a mocha frap. I make myself a mocha frap and start talking to her because I'm trying to find out, you know, there's a teenager here. I don't recognize you. And she's like, oh, yeah, I go to the church up in, you know, Tacoma. Yeah. And so oddly, so we connected on Facebook, and she says, man, that mocha frap you made me was the best ever. Next time I'm down there, I'll have to get another one. I said, next time you're down here, I'll make you one, right? So 3 years of this goes by. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. Hey, you know, when you gonna come down to the church and get a mocha frap? Oh, I don't know. I don't drive, right?
Yeah.
So now, 3 years later, she contacts me and she says, hey, I'm gonna be in Olympia. How about that mocha frap? And it was the weekend I was at Nampa, Idaho.
Man.
I said, you're not gonna believe this, but I am out of town this weekend. And so, but that one little connection point, though, you know, a mocha frap. What did that cost the church really to invest into the life of this kid?
And for me, it's the JoJo's. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten texts from students who aren't necessarily even God connected people.
Yeah.
Not just do they not come to our church or our youth group, but they're just not necessarily believers. And I'll get like, hey, please pray for my cousin, such and such happened, or you know, I do a lot of text counseling.
Yeah.
With a lot of those kids because I am their spiritual connection. Yeah. And it all started with, hey, you want a JoJo?
Yeah.
You know, and some of them say no every time, and I have a little fun banter with them about, my JoJos aren't good enough. Come on. My deep-fried, greasy potato wedges aren't good enough for you.
Yeah.
And so they never even had a JoJo, but just it becomes this medium by which we connect.
Yeah.
And then I'm there, and I'm present in their lives for those difficult times.
And you'd be surprised how many kids that come to youth group, and they act like they're disinterested, but really they just haven't connected yet. Here's an important tool. This is not for me. This is from Jonathan McKee, the source for youth ministry. And he writes a book, and I think it's just called Connect. And he talks about the first 10, 15 minutes of unstructured youth ministry time, mm-hmm. like having some just chill time, right? He calls it fart time, okay?
And is that where you got the
that's exactly. Yeah, okay. So it's an acronym, and it stands for floating around the room talking. Now, he goes in and describes it. Basically, if in this room you were standing in that corner over there and you ripped one, eventually it would make its way over here, and even though I'm sitting in this other corner, it would eventually hit me, right? He's saying that's how we need to be with the teens, right? We start in one corner of the room, and we start not the cool kids, not the leaders, definitely. Train your leaders in the first, whatever that chill time is, and we do 15 minutes. Don't get in a huddle with other leaders and be like, oh, did you catch that show? And hey, what are you doing later this weekend? You guys are friends outside of youth ministry. You can hang out whenever you want. You've got cars and you can drive, right? Some of these teens, they get dropped off, and this is the only time that they have, the only time that we have to connect with them. And so spend that 15 minutes floating around the room, talking to different teens, teens that you normally wouldn't talk to, teens that are purposefully withdrawing, teens that seem to be loners. Try to connect them with other teens and learn more about them, you know?
Right.
Just basically love on them. And it's so important, but that's something that gets overlooked in a lot of youth groups. If you go into a lot of youth groups, you'll see that exact thing.
Right.
That if leaders haven't been specifically told, hey, do this, they tend to gather together or gather with the kids that they know, and you'll look over and you'll see a kid sitting on the other side of the youth room, and you're like, why is nobody talking to that kid right there? And that should be like your first thought on your heart is, oh, I want to go talk to that kid.
Right, right.
And if two or three leaders talk to that kid, great. He's going to feel like, well, a lot of leaders are talking to me.
Well, and one of the things that we tend to do is we tend to look at relationships strictly as an ends toward a mean, and or a mean, sorry,
a means toward an end.
That means toward an end. And I get that, you know, like the relationships that we build add more power to the words that we speak to them. And when we're doing the lessons up front and all that kind of stuff. And that's a means to an end. And I get that. But I think, you know, what's more important is we need to shift and see the relationship as the end. And because if I'm living my life, not just as a youth pastor, not just a mask I put on, but if I'm living my life incarnationally where Christ is present in my words and my actions, then the relationships that I have with people and the connections I make with people, I am taking that living Christ through me into that relationship, and that relationship becomes a presence of Christ in their life. And so the relationship itself becomes incarnational, and they are introduced through Christ simply from the connection. And that becomes the whole point in and of itself. Now, it then does further give us more power in our words and more meaning in our words and more depth in our words. But the relationship itself is not strictly a means to an end. It is also an end in itself.
Boom. If this wasn't on a mic stand, you could drop that mic right now. That was some deep theology laid on you by Dr. Scott. Who is not a doctor, but you know, you're so true. You know, Dare to Share Ministries, Greg Steer, he uses what he calls the cause circle. He says, you know, this generation is so big to jump on a cause, but the greatest cause of all is the cause of Jesus Christ, right? To make disciples and to teach them, what Jesus taught, right? And so he has the cause circle, and it starts with, the three P's: pray, pursue, persuade. And that's just kind of a continuous circle. You keep doing that cycle. I cannot stress how important it is for leaders to be praying for their team and their teens by name.
Right.
And I showed you that we've got that banner in there where people who have chosen to accept Christ will put their name on there. And that's kind of a public declaration of their inward faith, right? And so I've been making it a habit to go in there and just spend some time looking at those names and just praying over them. And it's amazing because you'll see a kid who you haven't thought of in a while and you haven't seen them in a while, and you see their name up there and you start praying for them. If we truly care about these kids, the least we can do is pray for them. And that prayer is so powerful, and we don't want to overlook that. And if we're praying for them, then we're putting our hearts in a position where we're caring about their future and their faith and where they're at, you know, with an eternal kingdom perspective, right? And so as we pray for them, we will look for more opportunities to connect with them. And the more we connect with them, the better, and we pursue them relentlessly, right? As Christ pursued us, we get opportunities as our relationship grows to persuade them. And a kid who hasn't made a decision for Christ can make a decision for Christ. A kid who has already made a decision but is stagnant can rekindle that flame, right, and you know, go to the next level spiritually, right? After the prayer and the pursuit and the persuasion, he says their next step is ABC, and it breaks down. It makes it really easy. We want them, the goal for every teen is that they would A, accept Christ, that they would B, belong to a local church, and that they would C, champion the cause themselves. And when they make their faith their own and they begin sharing their faith with other people, then that really helps them to be just more real for them, you know? And one of the best ways to grow in your faith is to share your faith.
Yeah.
If you can verbalize, this is why I believe what I believe, and this is who Christ is to me and what he's done for me, then that just makes it even more solid and harder for the enemy to get in there and start sowing seeds of doubt, right? And so these are all very important things, yep, as we seek, absolutely, to connect with, yeah, kids, remembering what the end goal is. Our goal is that every single one of these teens, and I know that's a big goal, but every single teen that comes through our door would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that they would in turn grow spiritually and share their faith with others who would then in turn, yeah, accept Christ as well.
Yeah. And I think part of that is a big part of our prayers need to regularly be that God would help us to see each kid the way he sees them, mm-hmm, not the way we see them with preconceived ideas and notions about their personality, about their clothing, about their attitudes, about, you know, the canned headphones they've got on or whatever.
Yeah,
that we would see them the way he sees them, and that changes how we approach.
Absolutely, absolutely. The last thing that I will leave with is this is what I teach my leaders. When I first got into ministry, I said, okay, God, I'll answer this call, but you got to tell me how to do this because I have no idea what I'm, yeah, doing. And not only did he send some people to speak into my life to affirm that calling, but he also gave me this three-step approach to ministry, which is one, meet them where they're at, emotionally, physically, spiritually, maturity, meet them where they're at. And then secondly, love them as Christ loves us, and that's unconditionally. And sometimes that's really hard to do. There are some kids that we just don't like very well because they're jerks, but they need to be loved. Mm-hmm. And so we're called to love them. And then the third one, which is maybe even the hardest to do, is to let God's grace be sufficient for all the rest. We feel like we have to do everything. Like, we have to present this kid the gospel, we have to lead him to Christ, and then we have to grow them into a mature Christian leader. But not necessarily. Sometimes all we got to do is show up, say, hey, how's it going? Give them a high five or a hug, play a game with them, you know, and say, hey, buddy, see you next week. Continually doing that, asking them how they're doing until one day they say, you know what, I think I'm ready to accept Christ. Yeah. You know, and that may not happen. We may have them in our youth group for 5 years. They may accept Christ way down the road, but we planted the seed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Absolutely. And that's what that's part of you know, Andrew Root talks about the need to identify what God is doing and partner in with Him as opposed to conjure up our own things and invite God into
absolutely
it.
That's huge. That's awesome.
That's, and part of that's recognizing that and seeing them as God created them and partnering with what God's already doing in their lives.
Yeah. Well, if you've got any helpful hints that maybe we didn't mention, ways that you have found that are great at connecting with kids, especially those on the fringe, let us know. You can reach us on our website. We are at eclectic.com, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can email us. That's podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can find us on Twitter. We are at eclectic. Or on Facebook, we are facebook.com/IamEclectic. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening. And stay eclectic.